Today is the 18th Sunday after Pentecost, and after Mass this morning there will be a craft fair raffle meeting. St. Pius V School holds its annual craft fair on Saturday, November 22nd, and it is one of the major fundraisers that we do for St. Pius V School, and without this craft fair, we would not be able to keep the school open. And so if you are able or if you are interested in helping out with this year's craft fair, there will be a meeting downstairs in the breakfast room after Mass. This Saturday, the rosary will be prayed in reparation for the crime of abortion at the Glen Cove Planned Parenthood, beginning at 9:30 a.m. And a couple of weeks ago, on September 29th, Bishop Kelly visited St. Pius V School, and he visited the students, and he also took a tour of the new school building, which is still under construction. He was greatly pleased and was very impressed with the progress that has been made, and would like to remind us to be thankful to God for His bountiful goodness. And he would also like to offer a word of thanks to all those who have helped, who have been so generous and dedicated, especially in this regard. Now, a week from today, October 19th, Bishop Kelly will be celebrating his 21st anniversary of consecration to the episcopacy. And so if you would like to send him well wishes or words of encouragement and appreciation, you may send a card to the convent in Round Top, and they will get the card to him. The epistle appointed to be read for the 18th Sunday after Pentecost is taken from the first epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, I give thanks to my God always for you, for the grace of God that is given you in Christ Jesus, that in all things you are made rich in Him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that nothing is wanting to you in any grace, waiting for the manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who also will confirm you unto the end without crime, in the day of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 9. At that time, Jesus, entering into a boat, passed over the water and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him one sick of the palsy, lying in bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the man sick of the palsy, "Be of good heart, son, thy sins are forgiven thee." And behold, some of the scribes said within themselves, "He blasphemeth." And Jesus, seeing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say, 'Thy sins are forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Arise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins," then said he to the man sick of the palsy, "Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thy house." And he arose and went into his house. And the multitude, seeing it, feared, and glorified God that gave such power to men. Thus are the words of today's Holy Gospel. I am the mother of fair love and of fear and of knowledge and of holy hope. These words are taken from the epistle of the Feast of the Maternity of the Blessed Virgin Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, yesterday was the Feast of the Maternity of the Blessed Virgin Mary. In other words, it was a feast in which we honor the Blessed Mother in a special way as the Mother of God. The Feast of the Motherhood of the Blessed Virgin Mary was instituted by Pope Pius XI in 1931 on the occasion of the 15th centenary of the proclamation of her title as the Mother of God by the Council of Ephesus. It was in the year 431 that the General Council of Ephesus proclaimed the dogma of the motherhood of the Blessed Virgin Mary. A general council is a council which is called by a pope, or at least sanctioned by him, and which is attended by bishops from all parts of the world. The purpose of a general council is to teach and to judge, to teach the truth and to condemn error. For example, the Council of Trent was called in 1545 by Pope Paul III to examine and condemn the heretical teachings of Protestantism. This council at Ephesus was called in the year 431 to examine the teachings of Nestorius, who was the Patriarch of Constantinople. Nestorius taught that in Christ there were two persons, one divine and one human. And the Blessed Mother was the mother of the human person, not the divine person. And therefore she could not truly be called the Mother of God. St. Cyril of Alexandria, with 198 bishops, condemned Nestorius and his heresy and proclaimed the teaching of the Church that in our Lord Jesus Christ there is one person, and that person is divine, and the Blessed Virgin Mary is truly the Mother of God. The proceedings of the council were sent to Pope St. Celestine I for ratification. And one tradition says that when St. Celestine I read the decrees of the council, he exclaimed, "Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen." Now, this does not mean that because of the council, Our Lady was then suddenly recognized as the Mother of God. That she was the Mother of God was a truth divinely revealed from apostolic times. What the Council of Ephesus did in 431 was to take that divinely revealed truth and infallibly teach it, thus making it a dogma in the strict sense of the word, that is, an official teaching of the Church. Thus, Mary's divine maternity is a dogma of the faith. To doubt or deny it would be a heresy. The divine maternity was divinely revealed and held from ancient times. Our Lady was known to be the Mother of God and was acknowledged as such before the dogma was defined. And thus today, we believe without reservation or qualification that the Most Blessed Virgin Mary is truly the Mother of God. Now, when Pope Pius XI instituted the feast of the maternity of the Blessed Mother, the world was recovering from the Great War, World War I. In 1931, the year in which he instituted the feast, Pope Pius XI saw the rise of atheistic communism. He saw a world that was more and more turning away from its Redeemer. He saw a world that needed its mother. and thus to honor Our Lady and to foster devotion to the Mother of God, He instituted this feast for the Universal Church. But only 8 years later, World War II erupted. On September 1st, 1939, at 4:45 a.m., Nazi Germany launched an invasion of Poland. The German Air Force simultaneously attacked three different cities, Warsaw, Lodz, and Krakow. Within 5 minutes of this attack, the German Navy attacked a Polish military depot at Westerplatz in the city of Danzig, which is in the Baltic Sea. And by 8 a.m. that morning, German land troops launched an attack near the Polish town of Mokra. This was the official start of World War II. By the end of the war, 61 countries were involved, and 72 million people were dead. Among them were 300,000 American casualties. Now, there is a story about one young German soldier named George Eitzel, whose platoon had advanced into Poland. The German platoon had been taken captive, their weapons had been taken away, and were confined as prisoners in an old factory. Exhausted, the soldiers had fallen upon straw mats to try to sleep. Not knowing what to expect, they listened carefully to the screams they heard coming from outside. Their hearts beat rapidly. They were afraid of the torture that might lie ahead. As George lay there, he began to think about his wife. They had just been married a few days before the war. Her last words before he had left was to assure him of her prayers, which she promised him to pray every day. George only smiled at her in return, for he had abandoned prayer many years ago. Some of his friends had convinced him that God did not care about him, and that he did not need God or the church. So George had forsaken both his faith and the church. Then his mind drifted to thoughts about his parents, his happy childhood, and the faith he had then. As he reflected on these memories, one of his fellow soldiers began to pray the Our Father. And deeply moved, he joined in the prayer. New hope began to grow in his heart. Again, he remembered the words of his wife upon his departure, "I will pray for you every day, especially when I pray my night prayers." Greatly comforted by these thoughts, he finally fell asleep. The next morning, 6 Polish soldiers entered the factory. The grim-looking leaders made gestures indicating their desire to shoot everyone. The captives stood in fearful silence. One of the Polish soldiers began to confiscate all of their private possessions. When it came to George Eitzel, he began to take everything from his pockets, including a rosary with a medal of Mary's image attached. George's face turned beet red. What would his fellow soldiers think of him? His wife had slipped the rosary into his pocket as he was leaving, and he had only discovered it a few days before. And now embarrassment flooded over him as the Polish soldier lifted it up for all to see. George expected everyone to laugh at him. But to his astonishment, the grim-looking leader of the Polish army began to smile. Taking the rosary into his own hands, he proclaimed to his fellow soldiers, "A Catholic." And the others reacted with smiles, which broke the tension. George was immediately given back everything that had been confiscated from him. And the leader, in a friendly voice, said, "I am a Catholic." George was so thankful now that his wife had secretly bestowed that rosary upon him. He could not help but be impressed at how greatly a religious item had changed these men. His fellow soldiers, who benefited from the event as well, smiled at him and nodded their heads. They all had escaped great harm, and they knew the reason why. Still smiling, all the Polish soldiers left the Germans alone. The next morning, the German captives heard shooting outside. And with no one to guard them, they carefully crept out of the factory to see what was going on. They saw the Polish soldiers engaged in gunfire, and the German prisoners used the opportunity to escape. On his first leave for home, George joyfully embraced his wife, who noticed a change that had taken place in him. She rejoiced, and the next day she cried tears of joy, for she saw him go to confession for the first time. Through the intercession of our Blessed Mother, this young German soldier was brought back from the faithless and godless path that he was on to practicing the Catholic faith by a pair of rosary beads. If Our Lady will bring about the conversion of a man who was reluctant and even ashamed for carrying a rosary, how much more will she be willing to assist those who are devoted to her? St. Bonaventure writes, "Blessed are the hearts of those who love Mary, and blessed are they who are tenderly devoted to her." Thus we ought to be ever devoted children and loyal subjects of Mary, our Queen and our Mother, the Mother of God. For she can obtain for us the greatest graces, and we should turn to her in all our difficulties. As we saw in the story of the German soldier George Eitzel, she will intercede for sinners. She will win for them the grace of conversion. For next to the Mass, the most powerful weapon against the devil and fighting temptation is Our Lady's Holy Rosary. Therefore, my dear friends, during this month of October, which is dedicated to the Holy Rosary, be faithful in praying it every day and always as a family. But equally important, when petitioning Our Lady for a special request, pray with confidence and perseverance. For when it comes to prayer, perseverance is what matters. Even when it seems you have prayed unanswered prayers, or your prayers were not answered your way, God knows what is best and is always able to draw a far greater good than we had hoped for. And finally, my dear friends, be mindful of the words of St. Bernard of Clairvaux, who said, "Let the child endeavor to imitate his mother if he desires her favor. For Mary, seeing herself treated as a mother, will treat him as a child." God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.